I could be a cult leader. I could get people to follow me.
This episode of the
K-Guns Last Kicker
is brought to you by
Geist Note
and Victor Wrench
and Plastic Object.
You ready? We're getting the cue? This is some serious business right here.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
What are we talking about, guys? We're on the Jerry Jonestown Massacre.
We're talking about stuff. We're talking about things. We're talking about it being important. It's real, y'all. It's live. It's real. It's totally real.
Yeah, what is this?
Man, you know what? I hate Jerry Jonestown Massacre. They're fucking assholes. Pussy. And, you know, I just can't stand them, you know?
Matt apparently has spaghetti in his pubes.
Spaghetti!
These guys are just all like, oh, fucking chicks.
Fuck you. You're a goddamn communist. I'm a fucking Reagan-era fucking conservative.
These guys suck worse than their moms.
We will not cover your funerals, and we will not feel sorry for you.
Dustin, you have the cleanest pubes.
Oh, retards are stupid. You know, black people are going to hell.
This moves 20 miles to the west, and you and everyone you know are dead. All of you. Because you can't survive it.
You ruined it with your conservative talk and, like, don't ban this ammunition and all this other stuff.
I just can't stand this shit, you know? Like,
they're racist bigots.
I may be pregnant with one of y'all's babies.
Unlistenable liars that think retards are stupid, and I quote...
I'm gay, okay? And all I want is somebody to fucking love me.
Also, they don't mention sports.
Little dicks look funny. They always all make right. me laugh.
Their name is Jerry Jonestown... Massacre.
JJTM, Jerry Jonestown Massacre. JJTM, JJTM, JJTM.
All I want is somebody to fucking love me, man. I just want love and ammunition.
Show 344. There is no date, there is no time, there is no nothing, because this is a special edition.
I think it should be 343.9, not 344.
Like a weird
actually.
Off number? Not a
yeah,
full
because I wasn't present, and that means that this thing is negated.
You could have
There's
been
an
present.
Asterisk by this show.
You could have been present. You could have been present.
Yeah, I had to pay child support.
But you had to go up and stand in
the
line.
Court.
And
at court. Got to go to court.
I had to go to court and pay child support. This is the special episode where... I have some audio where Tim Dillon, he came to the temple, and he sat down in the Stubbs chair right there.
I'm going to smell it now.
And he gave me about 30 minutes audio. We sat down and we talked. We had some conversation for about 30 minutes. It was fun.
Did he butt to in the chair?
I didn't ask him.
Did you ask him if he likes websites?
I did not ask him if he liked websites. We had some other questions, though, that will be coming up in this interview, but... just gotta tell you, this weekend was insane.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
It sounds cool.
Ran around, went to Dallas
with him. Did you eat steak?
Ate some steak. We went to Dallas. We interviewed Brendan Schaub.
Yes,
UFC
He's
fighter.
A badass,
giant dude, huge hands.
I bet he has a really big dong.
Again. You're doing this again.
I'm obsessed, man. It's like...
You're obsessed with UFC fighter dong?
Yeah. Or just
or comedian
athletes,
dong.
All, people that are tall, and he's tall, right?
What dicks
am I?
Are you more fascinated with?
Athletes or comedians?
No, hold on. Comedians? athletes or rock stars? Rate honestly the dongs that, you're more interested
honestly,
in.
Honestly, the athletes. Like when you saw Shaquille O'Neal for the first time when he played for the Magic, the Orlando Magic, were you not the first thing that came to your mind was that guy, there's no way I would have sex with a woman after he did.
The time that his dong came into my mind was when I finally saw his wife. And I was like, how does that work?
I thought you were going to say when you finally saw it.
No, when I saw his wife, I was like, how does that work? His dong is as big as her.
Yeah. It's insane.
Weird. Very weird.
Yeah. Like Dak. Well, Dak has to have a big dick.
Has
for
to.
Sure.
You fucking have the photo on your phone because we got into a whole goddamn conversation one night and you and Chris went into the dark web looking for it.
Did I?
Yes.
That was non-sober Matt.
Now, sober Matt wouldn't do that?
Yeah, Christian
now that
Matt
you're sober?
Christian Matt doesn't do that.
I forgot you and your Jesus tattoo on your cheek that you've sobered up.
Yeah, so you hung out with Brennan?
Brennan Schaub. Nearly had a little bit of a opportunity with the old Roganator. He was in town. Rogan was doing a nice little show over there at the AC.
Did you say Roganator?
The Roganator. It's late. I'm tired.
For some reason, I thought you dropped an N-bomb.
I did not drop an N-bomb.
Just the way it rolled off your tongue.
The Roganator.
The Roganator. Is that how y'all, is that how Tim refers to him as the Roganator?
No.
You just came
I
with that.
I thought I was comfortable. I was comfortable enough to call him the Roganator. I was like, hey.
It did it again.
The Roganator?
Oh, gosh. I don't know why that's making me nervous.
Why is that shocking you?
It rolls
it's
off
Rogan,
like you're dropping it.
And then Ader.
Okay, all right.
So, Roganator. There's no...
Okay,
there's
okay.
Nothing to
yeah,
be
let's
freaked
move
out
on.
About. But anyway, he was in town, too, and there was we almost had a chance of, you know, sitting down with him, too, which gave me fear boner.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I got a little, freaked out when I was like, oh.
So,
when I finally realized what was going on.
Basically, either Avis or Enterprise, or was it Uber that fucked you out of seeing the Roganator?
It could have been one of them. It could have been Jerry Jones' driver. What's his name? Sterling.
Sterling is the name of Jerry Jones' driver?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Did you not ride with us that time at the game?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Now, when did you get the fear boner, though? What was going on? Exactly. You heard Tim saying, yo, Joe.
Yo.
Let's get fucked up and do some show. Or what?
Yeah, there was the chance that Joe could have joined us on this podcast we did over in Dallas, and it kind of made things a little weird. I got a little fear
Your
boner.
Your TT started tickling?
Yeah, I started, what, huh? I'm tinkling. What? A little bit? What's up?
My spotting?
But Joe had his show to do at the AC. We sit down with Brennan, got it done before
he had to
take
off. Oh, the nerve
of that
asshole to do a show at the AAC and not do a podcast with you.
And not come over to the temple and hang out.
Yeah, and see your cool Mastodon mask.
It could have been over here, but you're going to love the beginning of this Tim Dillon
audio. I can't wait to hear it.
You're going to love it because it is... It's going to make you laugh because that's the first thing he attacks.
Was Mastodon?
No.
Or the mask?
No, the first thing he attacks is this shit.
He's like, what the fuck is this?
It's like, man, I was going to eat. It's what other people have said off mic. Like,
yeah.
I thought you were taking me back here to kill me. It's basically the same thing, so.
Yeah, well, that's cool of him to trust you to
yeah.
come back here. I don't know if I would even trust someone to come
Well,
back
we
here.
Spent Thursday night. I went and saw his show Thursday night, mm-hmm. his opening night. Hung out with him, talked to him a little bit, and then Friday evening, we went to Dallas. He rode with me out there to Dallas. He Ubered to my house, rode with me out there. We came back. We went and ate at the Del Frisco's Capital Grill. I went and saw his show for a second time. And it was kind of cool getting two different perspectives of the show. And from
one on shrooms
aspect,
and one not on shrooms.
No, it was more just like, here's the free show crowd and here's the paying crowd and let's see what the difference is. And then Saturday morning he came in over early and did all his live spots.
Did you guys eat some breakfast?
His intro.
Did you cook him some
No, he had already
biscuits
eaten
and gravy?
At the hotel before he got here. And then I drove him back downtown before heading to Marlins, and he was like, "Hey, can you take me to Heim?" And so I dropped him
barbecue,
off at Heim.
This place, man, love this place.
And supposedly they were direct messaging him or sending him tweets like, "Hey, you're in town. Come over here. We love you, man. Come on, come on, come on." So I dropped
him
off.
They tweet us
there.
Sometimes, man.
They do tweet us every once in a while. It's kind of weird. I went and saw their new place on Sunday over there in the River District, and it's nice. Big. You don't have to wait in lines. It's cool. It's not like the Magnolia one.
Are you getting a check from them?
From Heim?
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Heim Barbecue. If you need good barbecue and you want to go eat some good barbecue, it's Heim Barbecue down on Magnolia or in the
River. Get Heim. Go eat some Heim Barbecue.
You want some sausage? You want some
stupid fuckholes?
I don't think that's a good advertising point, but after watching Tim do his ads, you can say whatever you want in an ad spot.
You've got my attention. Let's listen to it.
All right. So here you go. Here is Tim Dillon with me in the temple on Saturday. Later. All right. It's Saturday morning. It is November 16th, 2019. It is 9:54 in the morning. And sitting across from me in the temple is Mr. Tim Dillon.
I love that you call it the temple.
The temple of I.
It's a very big, beautiful Texas backyard, and then you see this, kind of ominous structure in the backyard. And I'm like, what are they? It reminds me of something out of True Detective, you ever see the Rob Zombie movie, House of a Thousand Corpses?
Yeah.
Where you're just going to, the doors are going to fly open, and you're just going to see, women being crucified and blood, But, it's even sadder as when you open it up, it's just podcast equipment.
And it's like, oh.
That's
now so, I'm let down.
Yeah, Leatherface would now be a podcaster.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
We get that a lot. We get asked if we bury bodies under the floor.
It just has a look. It has an aesthetic, and you're almost disappointed when you don't. It's like, it's like you walk in and you just expect to see, and then you just see like Fort Worth Weekly's Best of 2016 podcast.
Wow. How depressing is that?
You're like, oh, God.
I needed some chained up people half cut.
Yeah.
Up. Yeah.
The modern world does suck.
So you're in town. Hyenas.
Hyenas.
Three nights.
Three nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
You've got one more night ahead of you.
One more night tonight. Saturday night, my least favorite night of stand-up comedy.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this when it gets really wild?
Well, Saturday, people are drinking all day. But that's not even the bigger issue. For me, the issue is that Saturday night, you're getting a higher percentage of people that don't know who you are, probably don't even like stand-up comedy. They want something to do.
Then what's the point of buying tickets?
It's something to do. The guy to me said, he's like, yeah, there's some corporate parties coming in, some birthday parties. It's really something to do. They take a chance. And a lot of times, I'm good enough at this where I can make everybody laugh. But it's just different than having people come in that are really fans of comedy or they know who you are. And sometimes Saturday nights are amazing. But a lot of times, if you get a wild, drunken show, it's a Saturday night.
So, you're in Fort Worth. This is your first time here.
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
It's interesting. It's a place without a lot of defining characteristics. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell too much of a difference between this and, other places. Like, when you're in San Antonio, it's got that feeling. It's like a very Mexican city.
You got the Riverwalk.
Yeah.
Stands out.
100%. When you're in Dallas, you have that kind of that oil money, old money feeling, kind of preppy.
And we've killed a president over there.
We've killed a president, when you're in Fort Worth, it's a cool place. I like it a lot. But it doesn't read like I'm Like, when I'm in Burlington, Vermont, it's like I know where I am. When I'm in New Orleans, when I'm in Austin, these all have this very definitive. But when I'm in Fort Worth, I'm like, oh, I could be in Ohio. If someone told me I was in Ohio, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't spent a ton of time here, but it's just – and I've talked to people that have lived here for a while. They're like, no, that's kind of it. Like, we kind of don't have a thing.
It's always judged as like the shadow of Dallas.
Right.
Dallas's little brother or whatever.
Yeah.
On the west side. And it was a cattle town. It was a cattle town. That's all it was. It was a giant cow exchange forever and a fort before that. So.
Right.
Yeah. We don't really have a whole lot to stand out with.
Yeah. Yeah, and you feel that when you walk around. I'm sure, but it's nice.
I guess the closest thing we have to a tragedy ever happening in Fort Worth was when the tornado came through and destroyed all of downtown.
Interesting. When was that?
98, 99, okay. Somewhere right in there.
And what happened?
It the big bank building that's right across from the hotel you're staying at.
Yeah,
ripped it to shreds. That had to be vacated for a few years and rebuilt, restructured.
Yeah,
Sundance Square got tore up really good.
Yeah,
now it's all nice. And the west side, the West 7th area, where all the clubs and bars and
yeah,
drinking establishments, all that crap are, that got shredded.
Now, who are the Bass family?
They
run the show.
They run the show.
Yeah.
They own most of the real estate right there around downtown.
What did they do?
Oil.
Okay.
Oil that's handed down.
Where do they live in Fort Worth?
It's hard to say. There's an area on the west side of Fort Worth called Westover.
Okay.
Westover Hills. They have houses up in there.
And big, beautiful homes.
Big, beautiful homes. Yeah. And the Rivercrest golf course is over there.
Right.
And they have houses back up in there.
Okay.
But there's also rumor that one of them sometimes lives downtown in the top of one of those bank buildings.
Okay.
That's right there because they own both
of those.
So
nobody knows
buildings.
Any of them? I love this, like rumors.
No. They're around. One of them is very, stays to himself.
Yeah.
Very private. Kind of scared to go out in public. The other one is, I met the other one one day. I was on his property doing some work and he came walking up to me dirty in overalls. And he was having a huge remodel done to his house. And he came walking up, was like, hey, how you doing? What you doing here? And I told him, you know, I was doing some telephone work or whatever. He's like, oh, okay, cool. Let me show you around. And he showed me around and showed me everything. And I was like, okay. And I thought he was just general contractor.
Right. And he was the guy.
Another guy came walking up and goes, oh, yeah, that's Ed Bass.
Are these people billionaires? House.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'll see their names everywhere in the Bass Hall right there. Yeah.
Right.
They're the Fort Worth version of T-Bone Pickens.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And but because the majority of the money is in Dallas.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah.
Yeah, in the surrounding area. You know, George W. Bush, we talked about, lives in Preston Hollow, where T-Bone Pickens lives, where a lot of those people live, where Mark Cuban lives. That's a suburb of Dallas. And, you know, the oil money from Dallas dates back to when it was like, you know, Poppy Bush.
Yeah.
And even before that.
Way before that.
So those, you know, way before that. But Texas is its own country.
It is.
You know, which is what I always liked about it, or I found interesting about it, was that it's got its own, like, blood oaths and its own, you know, back, you know, its own, you know, billionaire families that have been going on forever. And, you know, it's interesting that the Bushes kind of took up residence here. And, you know, because they were Connecticut WASPs. And then
that is true.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Connecticut Patrician WASPs. And they came down to Texas and built a power base down here. And you kind of forget about that because they're so closely associated with Texas. But they're carpetbaggers. I mean, essentially, they found a place. And they just planted seeds here, and they just said this will be a good place. And I think a lot of it had to do with the oil business or, you know, intelligence work and whatever. It's interesting.
Well, the mom and dad were in Houston forever.
Yeah.
And then little George lives up here now, him and Laura. They go out, and you see them every once in a while here and there.
They'll pop in.
And stuff. They come out to the temple every once in a while.
They
sit down and hang out.
They sit down.
Do some interviews and stuff. We talk about what's going on. His art projects.
Well, that's the thing. He has art exhibits. Yeah. Where will an art show happen for George W. Bush?
I think the last time he showed any of his stuff was at his presidential library at SMU.
Interesting.
So it, I guess, technically is his own building that's a homage to him.
Right.
And that's where his presidential library is.
Interesting.
And he showed a bunch of stuff. So,
but every now and then they'll pop up at a restaurant or something.
Yeah, or at a football game, at a baseball game.
Sure, of course.
Or just, you know, basketball game. Whatever.
I mean, that's got to be interesting. You know, I was talking to somebody once, and they're like, the lives of ex-presidents are interesting. It's this small group of people. You know, you want to talk about elite fraternities. However many of them are alive at any given time. You know, and you know, it's interesting.
What blows my mind is that they're always still surrounded by security.
Of course, yeah.
And like when one comes, I work with the Cowboys, when one comes to the Cowboy game, how drastically different the security is on a day that one of them comes to visit.
Yeah.
And how thorough everything
it's
is.
Lifelong security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Can you imagine being followed around by Secret Service guys the rest of your life?
It's amazing. I can't, but that's not even the beginning or the end of what I can't imagine in terms of that life. You know what I mean?
Or being liked or loved.
I can't imagine
everyone.
Owning a home. it's like that's forget, you know, being followed around by a team of security, you know?
So we were talking right before we started rolling on this. I got to see you do an epic rant for the intro of your show about the future of podcasting and YouTube.
It feels like, and I'm a fucking, and this is why I don't know if I'm a dramatic guy to an extent, because part of what comedy is it's, you know, it doesn't live in the gray areas. You got to make these bold statements.
Yeah.
So when I say things like it's over or we're living in our last days, I always have to check myself and be like, yeah, but you make these crazy statements all the time, Tim. But I do feel like we're entering a new phase of what this is. And I think independent, what you want to call them, creators or independent media, is definitely going to be either phased out or it's going to be very challenging to build an audience now and to monetize that audience. And I think we were living in the, you know, the golden times of doing that.
I'm waiting for the FCC to sweep in.
Ooh, yeah.
And start
that's coming.
Having to have licenses to
do
this.
Wow, interesting.
Or going through like a, you know, if you're an on-air personality, you got to have a FCC license to be a DJ or whatever. But I'm waiting for that to come down and they start getting on the podcast. And then you'll see the herd thin out a whole lot. And a lot of people that are creating good content probably get swept away.
Interesting. And you think that has that even been discussed?
There's a few other podcasts that talk about that.
Right. Now, why do you think they'll deny people licenses?
Probably because of content.
Right.
How shocking content is. And they make, you know, it's the Wild West right now in podcasting.
Yeah.
You can say and do whatever you want. The only people that are going to get offended are the people listening to you.
Right.
But
I think what you've really seen is over the last, you know, 4 years, you've seen the internet spill out into the streets. You have these violent clashes now between, you know, whether it's the Proud Boys and Antifa or whatever. You've seen like anti-government groups be able to, you know, organize in a way that they would not have previous, you know, to that. You've seen the election of Donald Trump and Brexit and things like that. And again, not saying that they're good or bad or making any comment on them, but I don't think that the ruling class was necessarily excited about either one of those things. I think there's a world order that they've worked very hard to build. And I don't think Trump is actually that much of a departure from the world order, but I think stylistically he is. And I think the idea of him being in there, the idea that, you know, Brexit happened, the idea that you're seeing all of these actual political changes happen, that a lot of them started online. These are movements that grew online. I think people in power are terribly uncomfortable with the ability of people to actually affect political change online. And by the way, it's the same to be said for Bernie Sanders. I don't think anybody in power wants Bernie Sanders. He has no billionaire donors. The media sandbagged him in the first election. I think that it would be the exact same thing if Bernie Sanders got elected. I think you're seeing, how did Bernie Sanders organize, you know? How did Bernie Sanders get all these people? Again, if we were relying on the mainstream media, he wouldn't even be around. But, you know, the reality is he's 100% a threat, and they don't want that. So I think a lot of it is that. And then I think the other part of it is just that they're losing money. So if guys like us can just make money without this class of vultures and parasites to suck the money away from us and make us pay licensing fees and all that stuff, how long is that going to last?
I can totally see everything falling in line like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're totally right. And do you think that there is enough power in podcasting right now to cause an uproar movement? Like, do you think there's anyone, like, say, this will never happen, but say Rogan said, you know, hey, let's go attack something or let's go march on something.
No, here's the thing. I don't think that there's enough power. I don't think there's ever going to be a revolution. Okay. And I don't think that they're necessarily afraid of that. I think what they are afraid of is I think that they've basically given us two candidates for a very long time that had differences. Some of them were largely cosmetic. And I think their ability to do that with the internet is going to lessen. So you're going to get these insurgent candidates, guys like Bernie Sanders, people like Trump. And I don't think they're terribly comfortable with that. I don't think they like the idea that, you know, a guy like Alex Jones could start a media company from a warehouse in Austin and reach, you know, well over 100 million people and get more people watching his show than the nightly news. I don't think they like that. You know, that also has negatives. You know, there are negatives to not having any gatekeepers and not having, because you can say whatever you want and a large swath of people will believe you. It is a question that is more complicated, I think, than people think. I always err on the side of freedom. I err on the side of people, you know, having the freedom to make decisions and, you know, but I also understand the concerns of like, well, what if you do, you know, why wouldn't countries like Russia or China work very, very hard to set up sophisticated propaganda machines in the U.S. to get people to turn on each other and go crazy? I mean, we've been doing it for years. I'm sure that they would want to do it. So all of this stuff, there's a layer of complexity to it that I think, is unavoidable. You know, this is just the new media landscape where it's like you're going to have all those questions. But I think, you know, the reality is, the freedom to create things and the freedom to make money without having a parasitic organization take some of it away, or if not all of it, is definitely, unfortunately, it's nearing its end.
Yeah, it blows my mind that Apple has let this go on for, what, 13, 14 years now?
Right.
Completely free.
Yeah.
Like everything's free. And now you're seeing Google really start showing interest in podcasts.
Yeah, well, Google and Facebook are now just going to carve up the internet for themselves. Yeah. I mean, those are the just massive monopolies. You know, Facebook owns Instagram and Google owns everything else. And I mean, it's like, I mean, there's just, I don't think a ton of room for, I think there's five companies in Silicon Valley that where you have to be in business with one of the five, whether it's Amazon, Google, Facebook, YouTube, or I forget what the fifth one is. But basically, you just have to be in business with them. You don't have a choice. You know, you're either going to store stuff on the Amazon cloud or you're depending on Google for, you know, search optimization and results. Like, there isn't any way out of that. And, you know, it's just a massive, you know, and people that are making their living online and that have made their living online for a long time in this window, I think, are in for a little bit of a rude awakening.
It's going to be a sad day.
Yeah.
Because it's nice having the freedom to come on here and do what you want. And like you do, you're able to come on here and connect with your fans.
Yeah.
Talk with them more intimately. I think this is more of an intimate type of broadcast. So you can be more open with them.
I just hope to God that in some form that it will continue. Because I think that, you know, I mean, listen, if eventually they're going to, you know, they're going to basically the it's going to be a pay to play. The cost of putting a show out is going to probably rise, whether it's a license, whether it's some, I mean, you got to pay for a hosting server. Now there are expenses you come into contact with, but I think that those expenses are going to grow dramatically. And I think you're going to see people with a lot, maybe people that are very wealthy and that have a lot of money or that their shows are doing very well are able to still do it. But maybe starting a show is going to be the problem. Maybe the person that wants to start a show that doesn't have the capital, that doesn't have the investment, that doesn't have the wherewithal to start a show will not be able to start a show. And that's unfortunate. You know, I think there's no barrier to entry right now. The barrier to entry to this is very low. I imagine that it's going to increase and become more expensive. And I could be wrong about that. But I think that's the direction it's going in. I just don't think the people that own all the resources on this planet are not giving away this one for free any longer. We've had it for free for a long time. That's a tremendous resource. You can reach lots and lots of people. I think people are just going to be like, you know what? We're done with that. I just said on my own show, there's probably a meeting in Davos or at Bilderberg or whatever these, you know, the groups where all these billionaires get together and have tea. And I think they said, they've had about enough fun. We're about done with this. We see the world order all over the place. There's significant challenges to all the things we set up. A lot of them are originating online. We got to rein it in.
All right. One more question.
Yeah.
Because I asked this of our local comedy fans, and this is going a completely different direction.
Sure.
But since you tour the country, you see a lot of the big houses. You got big crowds that you're performing in front of. Have you seen any – what I like about your comedy is that it's pretty much no holds barred.
Yeah.
No subject is untouchable.
100%.
You can be as shocking as you want.
Yeah.
Have you felt any backlash within the last couple of years, the way things are changing?
So I think the backlash you feel is actually more of a silent backlash, because people in the business are just less likely to write you a check or less likely to kind of work with you on a project, because they all want, you know, safe stuff because they want to make money. So I don't think you get that backlash where I'll hear about, you know, people that are not, you know, I'll hear from, you know, third parties. You're like, oh yeah, I talked to this guy or I talked to this woman about doing something with you, and you know, they weren't so sure and they didn't really know you. And there's all these code words that the way they use, they won't come out and say it, but they're like, well, you're not safe. And the people that are making lots of money and all have big houses in LA, they've survived in the business. You know, these people, if things go back the other way and things start going politically incorrect again, they'll be like writing guys like me checks. And I'm not even that politically incorrect, but just the idea that I might upset somebody on either side, by the way, they just want safe. Because why? They're backed by, who are we talking about? Big corporations. Yep. So if you know, that type of comedy, you know, if people kind of relaxed, if in the future maybe Trump's out of office or whatever, and it goes back a little bit, you might see people like me, you know, more, you know, get more opportunities. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't envision that. I think the pendulum's already swung too far. And I think a lot of these people are – so, the backlash is just that, you know, people now are less likely to, you know, go into business with you or work with you. Not all of them. Some of them still will. But I think a lot of them, you know, look at what's been made over the last 5 years. It's all anti-Trump stuff. I mean, look at every late night show is unwatchable. Saturday Night Live is barely watchable. You know, they have everything from cartoons about this guy, and they all supposedly hate him, but he's their economy. Their entire economy is him. They've made entertainment solely about him, especially in the political sphere and the non-scripted, you know, kind of news media show area. It's all about Trump. There's massive podcasts about him to tour the country. I mean, it's genuinely, people are obsessed with everything he does. And so if you're not that person, or if you don't fit into that, they are less likely to write a check. But if you're like, all right, so here's, if you're sitting down in LA and you're like, so here's the show and here's how we're going to fucking get Trump. Here's how we're going to get Trump. You know, you'd be surprised that there's a lot of people willing to listen to you. Whereas if you go, here's how we're going to make a funny show, and they're like, yeah, but what does it say? You're like, oh, it's funny. Yeah, but what's the point? What's the message? So they really want message-driven stuff now. So that's the backlash that I felt, where it's like, that's why podcasting is so important. That's why being able to make things on YouTube is so important. That's why, you know, I get as mad as I do about the direction that things are going in, because it's the way that people like me have been able to make a living, and the way that a lot of great comics have been, every podcast you love, a lot of these people, one of the reasons they have them is because they were not fucked with by the business at all. And they were able to go around the gatekeepers and do shit that's really, really funny. And how, you know, that's why it's such a concern, is because, you know, we're not getting shows and we're not getting the opportunities to do what we want. So we are creating those opportunities, and hopefully they don't go away.
Have you felt it with any of your crowds from an audience standpoint?
The crowds, you know, can get a little groany about things. I think the biggest problem is intelligence. Oh. I think we're becoming a dumb. I don't know if we're becoming, but there's a lot of people that are not thinking critically about things. So if you make a joke, I think a lot of people are listening to keywords, and I think some of this has to do with our phones and how we communicate now, and that we're just looking at keywords and we're not really thinking things through, and we're not paying attention. So if you hear a joke and it's got one or two. You know, I have a joke about transgender Navy SEALs, and it's a funny joke. But as soon as I see the word transgender, there are some people that are completely – they're like, well, we don't know what's going to happen, you know? And then there are some people that are like, you know, not going to listen to the rest of the joke, or some people that are ready to be offended. And it's just like the joke has nothing to do – it just has to do with it's funny. That's, you know, it's like a kid's growing up. It's like if I'm certain of one thing, it's that I'm a killer, because it's like to be a Navy SEAL. It's hilarious to me that that's just an archetype of person, transgender Navy SEAL. You know, in one part of your life, you're so confused, and then in another part of your life, you have this laser-focused vision where you're like, I just want to murder people, but I also don't know what gender that'll be, but I just want to kill. So that's the joke. It's a funny joke, but it's like as soon as people hear that, you know, so I think a lot of it is, yeah, people are sensitive, but why are they sensitive? These are not good people. These are not moral people. They're sensitive because they're not getting it, or they're not, you know, they're not focused. And listen, just comedy, that's why you got to, you know, dumb it down so that they can get it. So I try, and you try, but there's only so much you can dumb it down before it's literal, you know.
I've got to see your set twice this weekend.
Yeah.
I saw it on Thursday night and then last night.
Different shows, too.
Different style of shows.
Yeah.
On Thursday night, it was right up against the stage, and the crowd, you know, sounded crazy.
Yeah.
Coming from behind me, audio and the way they were participating in all the jokes. Last night, I sat in the very back.
Interesting.
And got to watch people.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting watching people.
What was the difference? Because I'm curious about that, because I've never done that.
You pointed out pretty well on stage that one side of the room was very would get shut down on things.
Yeah.
And that was strange. And I was wondering, like, if those were big groups of people.
I didn't know what it was, but I mean, one side of the room was real. Well, I'm at a point now where half the room knows who I am and are really into it and loving it. And then half the room's like just a comedy crowd. And some of them are good and some of them are, you know, really depends.
Thursday night, it seemed like everybody that was sitting around us was really into you.
Yeah, they're really into it.
You had super fans sitting right beside me.
But that's awesome. I mean, listen, the future is not, for me at least, and I think for many people, the future is not going to be doing a weekend.
Yeah.
My future is going to be coming in and doing a Thursday night show and selling it out, or doing two Thursday night shows. I'm not going to be doing an entire weekend. I mean, I'm doing it now because it's what it is. I need the stage time and blah, blah, blah. But the future is not going to be you do five shows in a weekend.
Well, what's weird around here is it's not like the store out in California where you can go 7 days a week or whatever.
Yeah.
Here, it's all the comedy clubs seem to be, their big nights are Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right, yeah.
And they're limited to that, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I think the future is going to be. So I'm excited for a time when I can come in and then people know who I am and, you know. Like tonight, it'll be fun, but it'll also be like corporate parties, birthday parties, you know, and then you'll have people that are really big fans of me, and then you'll have people on, you know, the show tonight could be amazing because all those corporate parties could be amazing, but there's a higher percentage chance that they're just people that want to go out and get drunk, and like, we're just going to go to the comedy show. It's like, you know, somebody gives this example, they're like, you would never just go out to a movie to see drama. You'd go to see a movie.
Yeah.
You'd never just go see, let's go see action. There'd be a specific movie. Go, I want to go see Joker, Batman, whatever. So when people go out to just see comedy, you know, you don't know what the hell. And that's what makes it interesting art form is like, you have no idea what they think comedy is, what kind of type of comedy they like, what type of comedy they enjoy. And you're basically just like, okay, I'm going to try to be as broad as I can and get all these people on board. But last night, the late show, it was the early show, the one you were at, as soon as I walked on stage, I immediately confronted a group of people that were going to be a problem, you know, immediately.
That was awesome.
Immediately, because I knew, I said, this is going to be an issue. And if I don't shut it down now, and then it sucks because now I'm on stage for 45 minutes after I've confronted them and I got to do my whole fucking set.
But then you turned on them.
Yeah, and then and I turned. Then they were better.
They became your friends.
But it was because they were shit on early.
Yeah.
Because they had to know that they can't fucking act like that. I mean, people are animals. And you give people booze, they're just animals. These are not fans of comedy. These are just drunk monsters that have nowhere to go. You know? I mean, that's what it is. So you have to kind of let them know that they just have to shut the fuck up. You know? And it's just what it is.
Well, it's been a fun weekend.
Well, thank you, man. And, I appreciate it.
I appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk. And anytime you're in town,
Casa
Su Casa, you can come over here.
I appreciate it, buddy. Record the owner was like, we're going to get you in Plano. We're going to get you in Dallas. So I'm pumped.
If you're in town, we can. My gear's your gear. So
yeah,
let's do it.
I appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much for everything.
No problem.
Now you know the rest of the story.